Season 3, Episode 10, Season Finale. And Trusting God. So this week, for my kids, it was spring break. And we spent the week first juggling where we all were going to be because of baseball games and whatnot and work schedules and, you know, just life. And my oldest son is a junior. And so we have started doing, you know, his goal is to become an airline pilot. And since that's the case, you know, we are starting now because I know things have changed. Pilots are in high demand, so they're waiving the need for a four-year degree. But my husband and I are both like, nope, but you need a four-year degree. Just in case, you never know what's going to happen. That's something you got to have in your pocket. And it's hard to go back and do it. Like, trust me, I went back and got my master's in 2020. Or actually, I started at the end of 2018. And it's hard. It's hard to go back and fit in. I will say I was a much better student the second time around than I was the first time around. But it's a hard thing to do. So we're encouraging to do it young while you don't have responsibilities, or, you know, they seem like responsibilities when you're that age. But, you know, from my perspective, looking back, you have no responsibility. But so we started this process and we toured several different schools. He's kind of the unicorn because he wants to be a pilot, but he also wants, to minor in music. And then there's certain schools we're looking at because being from California, they offer, even though the schools we're looking at are not in California, they kind of have a handshake deal with neighboring states. Anyway, way too much details. Regardless, you know, we're looking at several different colleges and, you know, you sit through all this, they show you all the pretty penny stuff. And I don't know if those of you that have kids that are going to college, or if you've started that process yet, or you've already been through that process. I got to be honest, I wasn't prepared for the sticker shock. And I don't know why. You know, it's all well and good. I keep looking at tuition, but you forget room and board. And I was blessed enough that when I was in the military, before I went into the military, I had a ROTC scholarship that paid for my school. So that, other than one semester where I kind of blew it, and that's okay. All worked out in the end. Thanks, Dad. Anyway, and Mom. Anyway, you know, so I wasn't really that in on all of the financial part of it. So I wasn't prepared. And I don't know why. I mean, we've been saving for our son, but wow, you know, the sticker shock was a little unfathomable after they showed us all the cool stuff. You know, here's all the cool stuff you're going to do in college. Oh, by the way, this is how much it's going to cost. So there's that factor of it, and that's okay. You know, what happened was, and we had a wonderful week doing spring break. It was like we did stuff for our younger son. We did stuff for our older son looking at colleges and kind of starting to, you know, organize our thoughts, organize, you know, what is it you really want to do? You know, is this really something you want to pursue, knowing that it's not going to be an easy road. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be well worth the work. And I found myself getting stressed out, going, how do we pay for this? I know we've saved for college, but this is a very hefty, you know, this is a very hefty check. And this is, oh, by the way, on top of that, we've got aviation, which is like getting a whole other degree. You know, not only study-wise, but financially. And I'm like, holy moly, what is all this? And I'm so grateful that I'm married to my husband because he is so good about going, it all works out, Sarah. It all works out. But I know there's more triggers going on. The reason why I was having a hard time with everything that was happening around me. And it wasn't all necessarily bad stuff. I was like, now I just learned that I have to go back to school to finish my teaching credential. Although I've already gotten my teaching credential, but I recently learned that the state of California requires you to clear it within 5 years of actually doing all the work. I thought getting my master's was going to take care of that, but apparently it doesn't, and that's all fine. So I added that to my level of stress, which again is a good thing. Like, I need to go back and, like, again, which I preach all the time is perspective. I get to go get more educated in this field that I love to check the box for the state of California, but I get to get more educated and I get to practice what I've learned. You know, I don't like things being put at me saying I have to do it. No, by the way, there's this exorbitant cost that goes along with it, but whatever, you know, it's something I have to do. So I'm just going to do it. It's just like, I can't control the price of gas right now. I need gas in my car to get from here and there. And so you make adjustments to make it work for the rise in the cost. And the thing that I keep going back to with all this is because, oh, and oh, by the way, guys, sorry, is I have an MRI up coming up next week. So I know what all the triggers are. I know why I was having a really hard time, because I'm like, oh my gosh, just, I'm getting overwhelmed. And I know that happens to you as well, because we're human beings. And I'm so grateful for my husband who talked me back off the ledge again, and how I got to say I was disappointed in myself because I know all this. And it's funny because my brain knew all of it. I knew what was triggering, which is a step in the right direction, but it's an ongoing battle that stress will kill you if you're not careful. And I knew I needed to back off and start taking this one day at a time again. And I know I preach it all the time and I'm better at practicing it, but I still fail at it. I still fail and I still get wrapped up. And the one thing that I kept saying to myself, and I knew it, I was proud of myself, at least I knew that, but getting my heart, you know, everything on board at the same time is a little bit more difficult than I wanted it to be, is that God gives us what we need. He provides everything that we need. And you go back to any of the scriptures about when the manna was falling from the sky, God didn't give them an exorbitant amount. He gave them what they needed. And he consistently does that. And that's what I kept going back to in my brain, and my heart finally caught up, is that I know college seems like an exuberant cost, even if you've saved for it. But God will provide whatever is needed to make that happen, if that's the path that you're meant to go down. But I found myself like, I mean, I was not nice. I was short-tempered and I couldn't get past little things that shouldn't even matter. And I went back to the old Sarah, pre-brain cancer, where the littlest things would set me off. But I was really proud of myself because I did recognize it. And I talked it through with my husband. Like, I know I shouldn't feel like this. I understand that. And these are the reasons. And I could list the reasons. So that's the hopefulness. Because sometimes I get, you know, you get in there and then you start punishing yourself because you realize it and you can't implement it. You realize why you have those feelings, but making those feelings go away, the implementation is hard. And my husband said to me, he goes, you know what you haven't been doing, which you used to do all the time, is meditate. Meditate and pray the rosary. And I've been off that lately. And what a gift it is that, especially during this right now, you know, I'm recording this during Holy Week, but you might be listening at a different time. But especially this Holy Week, when we reflect upon the sacrifices that were made for us that we don't deserve, but that we're forgiven. And remember, it's not perfection, it's perseverance. It's striving to be better. Just strive to be better. And so I felt good about myself. I was like, hey, you know what? You're striving, you're doing your best. It's going to take a little time because there is that human, remember? Spiritual beings trying to live as humans. It's a hard thing to do. But one thing through this and what Jesus has done for us is he gives us our clean slate when we ask for forgiveness. And I recently had an encounter that was completely out of the blue, but for him it wasn't. I'm sure God had, there was a plan for what happened. And to me it was like, wow, how unexpected, but how amazing. So I was at my younger son Jake's. We were at his baseball game. And it's funny because we couldn't figure out how to get to the field. We could see it, but there was all this construction happening on the campus. Everywhere there was construction. And like at one point we were hiking through the construction site. We got to another dead end fence. I felt like we were in a really bad maze. And with one of the other baseball players, he's like, I don't even know how to get it. He goes, I'm going to climb the fence. I was like, all right, we'll throw your baseball bag over the fence to you. And he did, and off he went. Yet I wasn't about to climb a fence. So, so my husband got smart, used Google Maps, found another back way into the field, and we drove around and were able to get there. And when we parked, I noticed there was this fence and this property that actually backed up to the bleachers of the baseball field. And it was locked, but I peeked in and I turned to my husband. I was like, this looks like a botanical garden. It's really cool. And it's unassuming. It's a chain link fence. And I looked at it and I was like, huh, I wish I could get in there. But I was like, and I couldn't, the signs weren't close enough, but I kind of peeked in the best I could. And I'm like, this looks really cool. So we walk around, we sat down, and I needed to get something from the car. And it was cool because Paul thought, like, there was a gate and he didn't block the gate. He was like, just in case somebody needs to get in here, because I'm going to park next to it so you could still open the gate. And there's this big chain link, or this big chain wrapped around it, and it would lock. So I had to get something from the, I was sitting in the game or before the game started and I needed to get something in the car. When I walked back, the gate was open. I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally going in here. So I went in, and as I went in, I looked and there were this older couple there. And I said, oh, I'm like, do you guys mind if I walk around? This place looks pretty amazing. She goes, oh, please help yourself. I insist. It was a full on ecosystem. They had a rock garden. They were bridges, like little footbridges everywhere. It was so much bigger than what I could see just by peeking through the fence. There was, it was like a nature walk, and it was a nature preserve. There was a creek that ran through it, and then there was a pond at the bottom of the creek. All kinds of foliage everywhere, big giant trees. Like I looked around like, this has been here for a while. But you could tell that this was not all done by adults. And there were hand-painted signs, interactive signs that you could lift and learn about what you were looking at. And so come to find out, the couple that was there, I started talking to the wife. Her name is Jean Carter. And, you know, Jean looked like she had some experience and wisdom to her. Come to find out, Jean is 82. But there is Jean's in her shorts and her t-shirt tending to this garden and to this nature preserve. And she was so excited to give me a tour. She goes, oh, let me show you everything. Let me tell you about it. She walked me over to the sign. And there were old pictures in there. And one of the pictures, and it looked like it was from the 70s. And to be precise, it was 1972. And there's a picture of a gentleman in a suit, kind of looking over this dirt expanse of land. And standing next to him in this dress, and it was a dress of the 70s. It was so cute. It had a, you know, kind of an A-line skirt, button-up dress, cute collar. And there was Jean in 1972 standing next to the superintendent of the school district telling him what she thinks needs to be done with this land. That 50 years later, I was standing on with Jean. I looked at that picture and I'm like, all I see is dirt. I see nothing but flat dirt in that picture. I said, Jean, she goes, well, I just thought it was important because at the time she was a teacher at the school we were at. She said, children just learn so much better when they can experience something instead of just reading about it. She looked at that piece of land, and it was just a flat piece of dirt. And she turned it into an amazing nature preserve. And she would be the first to tell you, this did not happen overnight. And I would agree 100%. But there's a creek that they built that trickles down into the pond that goes all the way through the land. And I would say, gosh, it was probably half the size of a football field or a soccer field. It's about half the size, just to get the thought process. And the trees they planted, and like, she, even when she was giving me the tour, she was walking around looking up going, I just can't get over how big these trees are. I remember planting them 50 years ago. 50 years. And then she went on to tell me, she's like, oh yeah. She goes, we're retired. You know, I'm completely retired for this. And I started laughing. I looked at her. I'm like, but yet here you are giving me a tour. And she's shared with me that there were 39 Eagle Scout projects that have happened over the years that have helped build the bridges, create the pond, plant the trees, and created this amazing space where students can have a hands-on experience of learning. Jean looked at that flat piece of land and saw and imagined the potential that it had. And she had a plan. And the plan that she had didn't even remotely come close to the plan that God had for that land. Because I don't think in 1972, Jean could imagine what it grew into. And she was so proud. She was so proud of all of the students. She goes, she just kept talking about how the students were the docents and would walk. They encouraged elementary. The neighboring elementary schools would come and tour the nature preserve. But the tours are given by the high school students where this nature preserve resides. And so now you've got high school students teaching children about science and the environment for the last 50 years. I don't know if Jean ever thought it would last 50 years, but it just keeps getting better and better, and project after project. All the signs that were like professionally done, and that label, everything that you walk through and see. And I think Jean is a great example of how God looks at us. I think Jean saw that dirt path and she could see what it could become. And I think that's exactly how God looks at us. He looks at us as his blank slate. And he's like, I can't wait to watch you grow into what I have intended for you. I can't wait to watch you walk the path that I have laid out for you. And he's done that for every one of us. He's done that for each and every one of us. We all have our own path. We just have to choose to walk it. We have to choose him. And I'll tell you, these last few days, I have been struggling. I have been struggling with staying faithful and true to that, you know, surrendering. Because I figured out what I was doing was I was trying so hard to walk the path I had in my head. So hard. The way things needed to go. But when I do that, I miss, the glory of what he has waiting for me. And you think I'd learn it by now, as many times as I've walked through this many different, you know, struggles and anxieties, but yet I continue to struggle. And you know what? We're human and that's what we do. And that's okay. Because we learn through those struggles. But I just challenge you to be the blank slate and to submit to God's will. And sometimes that is an everyday thing. You have to choose that every single day. That's not just something you do at once and like, okay, I submit, we're done. No, that's why we're called to continue to read scripture. That's why we're called to continue to prayer. That's why we're called to have conversations with people. You don't have to internalize it. You pray about it. You talk to others about it. And God, let God work through others to help you. That's what this is all about. You are His beautiful patch of dirt. And I know that sounds funny, but you are His beautiful clean slate that He can do amazing things with. You just have to let Him. Thank you for listening to season 3 of Surviving Fear. I'll catch you at the next season.